Jo van Riemsdyk and Kate Baird developed CX Talent Limited after finding there was a huge need in the market for a dedicated customer experience recruitment service. There's increasing proof that there's a link between customer satisfaction and profit, and yet customer experience is notoriously difficult to recruit for. That is how the LinkedIn profile of Jo van Riemsdyk starts. And in this episode of CX Leadership Talks, I host an engaging and captivating conversation with Jo van Riemsdyk herself. Together, we navigate through the, well, pretty intricate world of customer experience management, and we delve into the evolving landscape of leadership in the field. Jo shares valuable insights on the challenges and trends in recruiting for customer experience roles, reflecting on the changing requirements and skill sets that are sought after by organizations today, as opposed to in the past. We explore the complexities of navigating senior leadership buy-in, what she calls managing upwards, the shifting paradigms of the customer experience industry, and the increasing demand for digital expertise and change leadership. So welcome to this exciting podcast of Leadership Talks, this episode, and join us for a compelling exploration of the profession of customer experience leadership and the insights that are garnered from Jo's collective years of CX leadership industry experience.
In the age of the customer, many companies and organizations fall short in meeting the needs and wants of their customers, let alone exceeding them. And it's time to change that. Welcome to CX Leadership Talks. Our passion is to be a catalyst for you and your organization as a customer experience leader to help understand, design, and improve experiences across the entire customer journey and the customer lifetime. It's time to spice up your CX leadership, and we've got the pro who's going to talk you through it. This is CX Leadership Talks, and now your host, Ninka Bloom.
Welcome to the show, Jo van Riemsdyk. And it's a Dutch last name, Jo. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, it is a Dutch last name. It's my married name. My maiden name is Nichols. But thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, it's a really exciting because I think you play a great role in the CX leadership world. You see a lot. You're the eyes and the ears of our world, I think. You see the side of business. You see the side of the candidate. And it's always interesting. If you introduce yourself to the room, how do you introduce yourself?
Well, I say that my name is Jo van Riemsdyk, and I'm the director and co-founder of CX Talent, which is a specialist customer experience recruitment agency.
Yeah. And what do people then ask? So, and what do you do?
Well, we're given briefs by various different clients to find them difficult to fill roles within customer experience, because most roles in customer experience are very varied and they're very, very difficult to fill in a lot of instances, with lots of niche areas that they might want to look at. And so basically, Kate Baird, my business partner, and I specialize in finding individuals to help either lead teams or be part of a team to help an organization take their whole customer experience initiatives forward.
Well, no, you're already doing this for a pretty long time, right? From September 2012. So you're in this for a long time.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 12 years. And so obviously we've seen very many changes across those 12 years. The requirements for roles have been very different to what they were back in 2012. But we've been privileged enough to work with some amazing people over that time and continue to do so. And we've spoken to several people who we've seen their careers grow and develop. And that's really, really lovely because, you know, the more we know about how the initiative changes and develops, the better we are at filling the roles, essentially.
Yeah, because I know that you're based in the UK. Do you purely do your search and recruitment in the UK, or is it also broader?
Primarily, we are a UK-focused recruitment business. I mean, it's just Kate and myself, so it's quite difficult to say that, you know, we will definitely be able to fill any single role internationally. However, we have worked on several roles in different territories, and we have got candidates in pretty much every territory in the world. And so we're often asked, you know, will you sort of do more in the States? You know, will you do more in Europe? And yes, of course we will. But obviously that's dependent on the roles that we get asked to help with. So, you know, we're very much where we work is very much dictated by where customers ask us to work, essentially, where there's a need.
Yeah. And when you look at yourself, like in 2012, How did you choose to become a recruiter in CX?
That's a really good question. It's quite a long answer, but I'll do my best to pot it down for you.
So, yeah.
Kate and I, neither of us are from recruitment backgrounds. I used to work in a very commercial environment for media companies. I was sort of, you know, head of account management, business development, that sort of thing. And Kate was very sort of involved in the theatre, and she did a lot of general management and PR and that sort of thing. And back in 2012, we both had very young children, and we wanted to, in 2012, it wasn't normal for people to work remotely. And it wasn't easy being a mother returning to work. And you would most certainly be, you know, asked to go into the office every single day. And because we both had small children, we both didn't really want to do that. We wanted to do something locally. And a lot of our friends were, you know, quite punchy in terms of what they used to do, you know, sort of marketing directors and lawyers and all sorts of things. And so originally that we would set up an agency that would help local businesses. And that didn't work. But in that sort of journey, we got to talk to a guy who was a user experience director for UBS, which is, you know, a big investment bank.
Yeah.
Or creative director, I think he was actually. Anyway, at the time, I had a very good friend who worked at Barclays Bank. And I was talking to her about it. And she said, oh, that's really interesting, because we're looking for 7 customer experience directors, and the resourcing team are really struggling with that. I'll put you in touch. So we got to speak to Barclays and find out a bit more about these 7 customer experience directors that they were trying to fill. And we started doing a lot of work and research into it. And it became very clear to me that actually there wasn't really anyone working in this space. And those people who were working in that space, who were mostly from places like Virgin Atlantic and, you know, some of the more sort of progressive brands, you know, they always said, well, there's no one who ever gives us any roles which are relevant to us. It's always digital marketing. And so we realized very quickly that there was a real gap there. And a friend of mine who also lived locally, who's a chap called Christopher Brooks, who was a customer experience consultant, he said, I think it's a great idea. And he helped us and educated us on what customer experience was. And then it went from there, really. And the rest is history, as they say. But we sort of kind of fell into it. But I mean, back in the day when I was running my commercial teams, you know, we were doing, in a sort of caveman drawing sort of way, customer experience initiatives, you know, sort of getting feedback from customers about what it was that they wanted, what was going well, what wasn't going well, and feeding that back into the business.
Yeah.
And mostly, actually, it was at the time to protect my sales team. But looking back on it, that's kind of what it was. Yeah, it's kind of gone from there, really.
Interesting. I also, the end of 2011, beginning of 2012, I also fell into customer experience management, being asked if I wanted to become responsible for CX at the Dutch incumbent telco at KPN. And I didn't have a clue what it was, actually. I had to Google it at the time. So I think we're both in it for the same time. And it's really changed, I think, in a way.
Definitely.
Although the challenges have not, which I find very interesting. So let's continue that conversation during this podcast interview. Yeah. Let's look at some trends you see, because you've seen the world change and you see it both from the candidate side as the business side. But in your role as a CX recruitment specialist, what shifts or trends have you noticed in skill sets and qualities that organizations are seeking today that is different than maybe 7-8 years ago?
Well, obviously, there's a really big slant on digital experience. I mean, people really want, especially in senior roles, people really want now individuals who have got that rounded experience, both in terms of offline and online experience, and also looking at the whole experience from an employee perspective. Because fortunately, companies are now understanding that, you know, if you've got happy employees who are engaged in the business and understand the values and are, you know, committed to the values of that organization, they quite often ensure that the customer's experience is equally as good. And so quite often we're asked for people who really truly want to embed a customer-centric culture within an organization, who's got experience of that and they can talk about it. They also, you know, really want to understand that an individual can and has got experience of working across digital channels. Because let's face it, you know, since 2012, things have become increasingly digital. You know, interactions have become increasingly less about going into a branch or going into a shop, or more about what the experience is like online. I don't necessarily think that we've kept up with that. But then who's to say the skill set has been there all the way along? So, you know, that's definitely something that people are asking for. I mean, for us, you know, when someone's asking for a customer experience director, for example, you know, we generally know that the ideal person will have had a multitude of different types of experiences across different sorts of industry sectors. So they won't necessarily just be agnostic to financial services. They may have also got experience in telco or utilities or possibly even retail, because the wider the experience, the richer the experience they've got to draw upon, essentially. And that's definitely something that people really, really like. Although, having said that, in a tight market, which it has been recently, companies do tend to get a bit cautious when it comes to making large investments in individuals. So a financial services client is probably more likely to want to be more aligned and comfortable taking on somebody from a financial services background than they might be if the market was a bit more buoyant.
I understand. It's very interesting. There's what I see in the market, and of course, I don't know the UK market specific, but I see it like in Europe, and I have a better view, I think, what's happening in Asia and Australia than I have that what's happening in America, to be honest. But I do see that, but let's get into that later, is that, no, let's get into that right now. Okay. I think also that CX roles are undervalued and underpaid. Also, and let's be honest, it's also our own fault. Let's put that blame on us as a profession, because we cannot really state what we've impacted on the business, what our results have been, what our value has been, but how do you see that? Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I think you're right in a lot of instances. I think there's been a very big, there was a huge sort of, you know, over since 2012, customer experience as a term has been massively misused, number one. So you can be a customer experience manager, but work in a shop as a shop assistant, in old speak.
Yeah.
You can be.
I see those.
You know, you can be a customer experience manager and work in a call center. Now, I'm not saying that these aren't related to customer experience, but they are not what we might term or deem as customer experience. The whole sort of, you know, interaction with the customer. And so because of that, what happens in recruitment is that when resourcing teams or HR teams are looking at customer experience roles, what they undertake is quite often what they refer to as a benchmark exercise, where they will look at what roles are deemed to be customer experience, take an average salary from that, even at senior level. So that really impacts salaries. The issue in terms of how successful customer experience teams have been, well, I think one of the big problems is there isn't always a chief customer officer or a customer-focused director who sits on a board. Quite often, customer experience can sit under operations, or it can sit under marketing, when the actual fact it sits across all of those things. So it's very unusual in organisations that there's actually a customer voice on the board, and there should be. And I think if there was, then we might see that more importance is played for those customer experience initiatives. And I also think that in a lot of instances, I'm never going to be critical about anybody, because clearly, I mean, I'm not going to criticise any of our potential clients. A lot of companies have taken on consultants and spent an awful lot of money on consultancy and an awful lot of money on SaaS platforms to run customer experience programmes, which is fine, but there's no point just paying lip service to this stuff. There's no point investing in this stuff if there aren't people there who actually know how to get the value from it. And I think that that's been a big problem. And so I think people have seen a lot of investment sometimes in systems or in external consultants or in things, but haven't actually really seen it through or given it enough time to see how well a customer experience program might be working. So it devalues, you know, quite often what would rather wasn't devalued, essentially.
I agree. And I think it's really interesting what you see is, I think what I hope when I started my own business in 2015 is that I also thought it would be a trend that there would be more chief customer officers. And have I been wrong? Because I thought that would be a natural growth. But I also think it's about ourselves, how we position ourselves, how we put ourselves in the role of true leaders instead of more like managers. Maybe I like to provoke a little bit, let's be honest, because I think there's a lot of growth to be done to be true change leaders. And that is exactly what I do see what CEOs are asking for. But it's also, I think you already mentioned it, there's a wide variety of CX roles, whether we see them as CX of customer experience. Like there's so many CX disciplines also. When you already, well, I work with the CXPA model of strategy, insights, metrics, and design, and culture and organization. There's so many areas where there's roles in, like customer experience, customer journey manager, service designers, digital experiences. Where is, you already said the digital is very in demand. What are other roles that are in demand that organizations are looking for?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, at the moment, this is not a great time for you to be asking me this question, to be honest, because the recruitment market has been absolutely appalling for the past year. So I would
really
easily, oh my God, it's been horrendous. It's been horrendous. But hopefully you see green shoots, so it won't be the same forever. But I would say one thing I've really noticed actually in the last couple of months is the increase in requirement for digital design roles. And that would be things like service design, or UX, UI, design leads. Yep. And it isn't just necessarily about doing all the creative pretty stuff. It's about actually being able to pull together all those strands to make things work across digital platforms. So having that sort of more technical insight. I mean, the problem is that, you know, you can journey map and journey map and journey map and journey map to your heart's content. But what are you actually going to do with it?
When the customer has to,
Yeah, you need someone who's got to pull it all together, who's got to pull those strands together and look at it and think, right, okay, this is what we actually need to do. But equally, an awful lot of time really does need to be spent on the front line and listening to what people are saying and listening to what those call operatives and those call center customer support people are telling you. Because so much is lost in translation between people on the front line to people who are actually doing this journey mapping, doing this sort of overarching strategy, actually an awful lot of things sort of seem to sort of fall down, you know, through the cracks, it would seem sometimes.
Yeah, I find it also interesting. We had our global CX day from our CXPA Dutch chapter to 2022. There's a lot of growth on CX in the government area. And we had like the topic CX within government. So we had somebody from the tax offices, from a chamber of commerce, from unemployment, really. Those are really large organizations. And you see big growth in CX, in the professionalism, in maturity, which I find very interesting to see. And I'm also a little bit part of it I hosted a mastermind for all the leaders where we had half year an intervention leadership course. But what I found when we had that day, that there were 125 people. And when we investigated what is your title, there were about, I think, more than 50 different names in titles, because everybody calls it something different. And I also think that makes it very cloudy for other people. Like, what are you doing in CX? What is your role? What do you do? What is your value? What is your value add? And all these different names make it very difficult to see what CX actually is and what we do.
Absolutely. I think in terms of leadership, that's the key piece, really. And one thing I always say to the customer experience leaders that we speak to who are looking for their next challenge or whatever, is you've got to remember what you bring to an organization. You know, what is it that you bring to a party? That's what your CEO wants to see. Because if your hiring manager is going to be a CEO, they're going to be an MD, they're going to be someone, you know, who really probably won't care that much about what you've done in the past. They want to know what you're going to bring in the future and what problems you're going to solve and how you're going to make things better. And I think unless you can really, truly condense that and put that into a really powerful statement, it's going to be hard to find the next ideal challenge for you as an individual.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Like, we should be much more intentional, I think, about what do we stand for? What's our vision when it comes to CX? And how are we going to make that vision come alive? And if you can state that as a leader, you can get the trust of senior leadership. But if you don't have that and there's no trust in your own transformation capabilities, I think it will be really difficult.
I agree. I agree. And I do think also, you know, you kind of, for senior leaders, you've kind of really got to use your track record of things that you've done and have that sort of, you know, those examples that you can draw upon where you have made a wonderful difference to an organization and have those sort of figures to show what your return on investment has been. I mean, that's actually very, very difficult to prove. But, you know, that's what people want to know. People want to know, you know, if I hire you for X hundreds of thousands of pounds per annum, what are you going to return for me, but for me investing in you? And I think that that's something that senior leaders really need to think about, because they're fingertips at all times, really.
Yeah, well, what risks are we avoiding, or what are we really, truly bringing towards the future? Yeah, what value add do you have? So I've also seen, and looking at the industries, are there certain industries, because I do see some people from industries more in my courses than others. So I was wondering, do you see some industries that place a higher value on CX roles?
That's a good question. In terms of a higher value, not necessarily. I mean, you know, financial services always has a very big presence in customer experience, yep, and they invest in it quite heavily. And certainly we can see with some of the fintechs and challenger banks, there's a requirement for really great customer experience. But they always have quite small teams, which is interesting. So both some of the big legacy banks. Utilities are investing quite heavily in customer experience, but I wonder, you know, utilities and financial services are heavily regulated. There's a new consumer duty for financial services in the UK. That's had an impact on customer experience. If it hadn't yet, it jolly well should have done. We've seen, Kate and I, perhaps over the last 18 months, a real move in commercial real estate, which has been interesting, because I think after the pandemic, okay, you know, people were moving out, because companies are now working in a much more hybrid fashion, people perhaps aren't in the offices as much. Of course, that impacts estates. So if you have an estate of flexible working space, or you have an estate of office buildings, or you have an estate where there's office buildings and then there's shops and there's cafes and restaurants and that sort of thing, you need that footfall. And so we've seen a lot of, we've placed in a lot of roles, probably more than any other sector, actually.
Wow.
Developers have wanted to have really great people on board in order to create communities, entice people back into the office, make more of a sort of, what is it that, I mean, we did, we interviewed actually Michelle Laramie, who is the customer experience director for Canary Wharf. We did, she was our very first newsletter guest. And she came from the Crown Estate, and she's working at Canary Wharf at the moment. And the amount of initiatives they have in the Canary Wharf Estate for their residents, the people who work in their offices, all sorts of things to ensure that that whole experience, whether you are a shopper going in for the day, or you are someone who's looking at workplace experience, or you're a young person, perhaps is in their job for the first time and needs to sort of make some friends or whatever, they're looking at all of those different journeys and coming up with initiatives. And I think that's really cool. That's really, really interesting. You know, it's something that I'm personally very interested
in. That's interesting. So we had one person coming from like commercial real estate, which we never had somebody in our masterclasses. And what's also interesting, what we've seen lately is that like in retail, we actually had very few people that invested in CX in their own skills when they go to our masterclasses. And now we saw a lot of people coming from the larger retail. So they just started CX as a profession. So I found that interesting as well.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. You see, we have the marvelous John Lewis, which is held up as always.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the best customer experience models that there is. I think in the UK, there's been quite, retail's been something that's been done relatively well by some of the larger, not all, some of the larger retailers for quite some time. You know, Marks and Spencer's, John Lewis, all those people have done quite a good track record. ASOS is another one. You know, they've all invested quite heavily in customer experience. But another area we see a lot of growth in, which is quite interesting, is what I would have called in the olden days advertising agencies, or which are now creative digital agencies or whatever.
Oh.
And a lot of those agencies are now investing in customer experience individuals. They're offering customer experience as part of their service offering. And so they tend to be quite strategic individuals, and agencies do like people from agencies, which is quite tricky because there's not a lot of true CXers in agencies, in my opinion. But that's quite an interesting growth area, and it's definitely got quite a strong digital design edge to it. But
yeah,
that's quite,
yeah,
that's been a growth area for us as well.
I see that too. I see, I've been up to like 2 years ago, I didn't do a lot of education for consultancy or for agencies because I was an associate, a partner with the consultancy. So I felt always really weird to help others. And I thought I want to be like, I always wanted to be vendor neutral from all kinds of vendors that we see, of course, the larger ones. But then I said, I also want to be like consultant and agency neutral. So I stopped that. And since then, I've done so many in-company masterclasses also with agencies, because they say we are like the customer experience agency, but actually what they do is build like online portals or websites or flows, or, and they're like, yeah, maybe it's a good idea to invest a little bit in our knowledge, which has been very interesting, I think, for me in business-wise. But when you look at that, so last question about this, you see a change within organizations, you see a change within customer expectations. What do you advise CX leaders to stay relevant and enhance their skills?
That's a really good question. Well, people should just keep abreast of what's going on in the marketplace, really. I mean, obviously, AI is a big piece of the puzzle now. I mean, I've just finished a course, actually, in the ethics of AI, which was unbelievably cool, unbelievably terrifying, but something I think that people should be, you know, people should be really aware of when they're thinking about implementing AI systems into their businesses. So I think that they need to keep abreast of things like that. I would definitely say for, you know, people who perhaps aren't leaders yet, looking at things like service design and really getting into the granular detail of customer journeys can be quite useful. But not just customer journeys, the processes, the employee journeys, and looking at trying to sort of pull things together before it gets kind of out of hand. Because the bigger an organization gets, the harder it is to sort of pull all these pieces and these threads together to make it into a tapestry. You've got to make the tapestry first and then build on it rather than trying to sort of unpick messes as you go. And I think that that is really, really something people should be thinking about. I mean, in terms of other skill sets, I mean, CX leaders need to be amazing communicators. They need to be resilient. They need to be incredible at stakeholder engagement and influencing across all levels of an organization, across all disciplines. So really, once you've got people kind of, once you've won hearts and minds as a CX leader, I kind of think it really sort of does fall into place. But you've got to have buy-in from the top, because if there isn't buy-in from the top, you just can't be that one lone voice. That's the key, I think, buy-in from the very, very top, and then the rest will come.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. And let's go to the why, how, what of successful leaders, because I think staying on point, and of course, it's a little bit of a open goal scoring because I'm into education, but I do think we have to, like CX leaders have to have a broader look on what they do. Also for me, like you just did a course in AI, and also people think like, Dinka, what do you do? Well, I go to Harvard now. I went to Australia to the Professional Speaker Association, where we really had some great sessions on AI, on business development, and on leadership. And I think it's so important to stay in there, and also to, because I think some leaders in CX think, I think I know it. And you can never know it, because there's new things to be learned. Don't be a know-it-all. I think be a learn-it-all is so incredible important. And you said buy-in from senior leadership. I think that is the piece we struggle the most with and the one that's needed the most. So that's like a catch-22. You already told, like, what is a real must-have for CX leaders out there when it comes to capabilities and skills? Because how do you get buy-in from the board?
Well, you've got to be in them. You've got to have, I believe everything needs to be evidence-based. You've got to have evidence-based, you know, examples. Say, look, when we did this here, this is what the result was. When we did that here, it didn't work, but we learned this. So I think that a CX leader needs to be someone who can talk equally about what does work and equally about what doesn't work and why. But essentially, you've got to spend an awful lot of your time. I mean, a great piece of this job is managing upwards to convince people above you why this is an important thing to invest in. And it's not just, you know, your immediate manager, it's the whole board, it's the chief, the CFO, the CMO, the COO, whoever it might be. They've all got to be brought into why this is so incredibly important. So I would say that's really important. But equally, you know, if you don't get your employees and your teams equally as sort of invested in it, it's quite difficult. So for me, it's got to be about stakeholder engagement and influencing. It's got to be about communication. It's got to be about being tenacious, you know, having that resilience to keep on going even when, like, you know, things aren't going brilliantly, but not, you know, you just got to keep on bashing down doors to try and get people to understand what you're saying. And it shouldn't be as hard as it is, because it should be, you know, when you work in CX and you listen to people in CX, it's so blindingly obvious why people should be spending more time thinking about this, and yet they don't. And I don't know what the answer is to that, because if I, that's a million-dollar question, right?
I must say, this is, for me, the biggest paradigm that we need to crack. It, for me, it has several reasons why we need to crack it. First of all, because we'll get more, being more valued if we take our roles in managing upwards in a better way. Because if we engage others, our leadership is seen as more important. Then we can truly get the right budgets to really bring results. Then I think there's so many reasons why we should do it. Then we can more easily state what the ROI of our projects are. Because if you have no money to spend, there will be almost no ROI. And I think it's so... I've now done, I'm going to start with my sixth leadership masterminds on the 9th of April. I was actually full. I thought I had closed the entries and then somebody else registered. So now we've got 9, which I, well, so now I've got one more seat open because I think an even number is better. But what I found, this is my sixth cohort that I'm running. And what I found is that there are several leaders that are internally, they will never say it, but they're afraid for senior management. They're just afraid to fail. They're afraid that they won't get the buy-in. They're afraid of the, like, I think just the seat of the senior leadership. Well, it's fight, flight, or freeze. Well, it's flight and freeze what people do. And if they fight, it's also not a good strategy, because fighting is a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the answer is to this. If I knew the answer to this, I'd be extraordinarily rich. But I do think there's something in what you say there. I have a friend who's recently just exited a very large organization in the UK where he was a very senior member of the leadership team. And I had dinner with him last week, and he was telling me that one thing, he was from a government, he'd worked in government until this recent appointment. And because of that, you know, working in government, you know, you tend to be working for the people. You're doing things for the collective good. And he said the thing that the biggest takeaway he had from being in this organization was that most of the exec were more bothered about their own positions and what they can get out of the organization than they are about doing things that's right for the organization.
Yep.
So I think there's definitely a bit of a culture change that's required, with people sort of pulling a bit more together as a whole rather than just working individually for themselves. Because ultimately, you know, if you...
I think
that is a culture thing. And it's a great... You create a customer-centric culture by creating a culture where people understand that, you know, they've got strong company values and that's what they need to be. You know, that there's something that's not quite right there in that organisation if people are working for themselves. A business is a sum of the people that work in it. And it's a sum of whatever product or service that they're selling. But you've got to have values. And I think if you've got strong company values and that your employees are bought into those strong company values, and the strong company values mean that you want to, part of those is that you want to do the right thing for the customer, then that will really, really help in terms of, you know, sort of making sure that people perhaps aren't afraid to challenge and aren't afraid to bring things. Now, I would have to say that most of the customer experience directors and senior people I speak to, I would be astounded if they were frightened to say something in a board because they were, you know...
Yeah, they are quite punchy, but still, you don't want to be punchy in a CX role, because if you're going to do the fight part, it doesn't work. What I've researched and what I've seen in now with my sixth cohort of CX leaders, what we've done is, what we've really seen is how to help decision-making, how to really have a conversation on what elements, how to manage risks effectively when it comes to CX, what kind of behavior do you expect of senior roles, and how can you enable them to be a success. And if you see people that are more egocentric and go for their own careers, then how can you help them be a success and do the right thing when it comes to customer training? So I think it's really about making the photo. What do you see, what's needed, and then act upon it. And I think that is, we need to be much more strategic about it. But yeah, let's go a little bit about to the candidates. How do you, like, of course, there's now a little bit of a shortage of new roles, but they will come eventually because it's like a coming and going, of course. How do you assess a candidate's CX leadership capabilities during the recruitment process? How do you do that?
Okay, well, I mean, first and foremost, when we're given a brief by a client, we have a very tight brief to work to. So we are told, this is the kind of individual we want, and this is the sort of experience that we're looking for. And so therefore, we go and look for those individuals. Now, in terms of assessing the person, obviously, we spend a lot of time talking to people. So we spend a lot of time listening and asking questions about their careers, you know, what their successes were, what their achievements have been, what their failures might have been, what they learned from that, you know, what they're looking for in their next role, because you've got to make sure that, you know, ultimately you're putting someone into a role whereby they're going to be happy. Because someone might say, you know, I've done all of this, but actually what I really want to do is work for somewhere where I'm going to be doing some good, like for a charity or something, in which case you're not going to stick them into a really highly commercial organisation, you know. So when it comes to assessing their leadership capabilities, we listen to what the client wants, we listen to what the candidate wants, we ask lots of questions, we see what their activities have been like on LinkedIn, we, generally speaking, are connected in lots of... It's very hard, it's difficult for a senior customer experience person to hide, essentially. And you know from what they've done in the past as to whether or not they're going to be successful in the future.
No, you never, but you never know.
Yeah. But it's through talking and listening and learning from people that you're able to assess how strong they are as a leader. And also in the, you know, just the way they speak to us. Because you see, people in recruitment have a quite a bad reputation, generally speaking. Not us, obviously, so amazing.
Really?
People
hear like positives. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, people don't like recruitment consultants. And in a lot of instances, I think that's quite fair because I think some of them are really, really bad. But if candidates interest, you know, in who we are and how we've got to where we are, how we're doing what we're doing, what kind of roles we're seeing, are we having all those conversations? And you generally know this person's inquisitive. They want to learn more, they want to exceed in their career more, and you want to help them. And so essentially, that's how we would assess it. I mean, it's a bit wiffly-waffly. And, you know, I could say, yes, we would do psychometric tests and all those sorts of things. But generally speaking, that's what the client likes to do. So what we do is we get the brief from the client, we go out to market, we find the people that we think are the right fit for that role based on what the client's been telling us. And then it goes from there, really.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's so interesting and also like, and I want to really tell people to work with you. We also have a CX consultancy here in the Netherlands, but I think it's so important that to recruit the right people, I think it is a profession too. So I would really recommend everybody that's listening, don't try to, you can do it yourself, but it's just not as good because it is a real talent and finding the right person is so incredibly important. And there is help out there. I think you, with your organization, you've proven that you're in it for the long run. You have the authority. So I think people should reach out. And of course, we're going to put your LinkedIn profile and we're going to put the link to your organization in the show notes. So please contact Joe and Kate because I think they are the right people to help you in finding the right candidate for your organization. I think they should. So we're wrapping it up. Almost. Yeah. Two short questions that I finish off all the time, which is always nice to learn from you. But what is a habit that you developed and practiced that really delivered results? Maybe CX results, I don't know, but results for you.
Okay. Results for me. Mine is just listen. Stop talking and listen.
Okay.
That's a listen, listen, listen.
Yeah.
Listen to the client. Listen to the candidate. Take feedback. Be adaptable. Look to meet client needs. That's really my biggest habit, I would guess, is just listening. And talking a lot, sorry.
I love it. That would be really nice for a podcast to have you talking, because if you would just be listening, it would be really weird. But people that work with you, they know. And then it's always interesting. I'm making a list of my guests. Like, what is a book or a podcast or a video that you recommend the listener to spend time on to spice up their CX leadership?
Clearly this one. You know, this one here, I would say.
Yeah, they're already listening. Yeah.
I love anything by Ian Goldie. I love Ian. He's awesome. I think keep an eye out
on
for our CX Talent newsletter. We publish it monthly. It's an interview with a senior customer experience professional every single month. And I also am a big fan of the Women in CX Network, which is run by Claire Muscat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff that they do on there. But I would say they're probably my go-tos, I would say.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah, Ian, he's been a long-term CX friend since 2016, I think. And well, we meet up and of course we do our yearly international CX awards.
Sure.
I think it would be great. I'm going to see if I can find the link for your newsletter. So we also put it in the show notes so people can register for that and get your monthly insights. So, Joe, thank you so much for, well, first of all, taking the time, but also everybody that knows in the podcast, we don't just do it. There's preparation. We ask you to read that through and also to give your brilliant insights. I think it's of true value. And also for our people that are listening, what I get out of it, I've written down, really focus on that digitization part, engage senior leadership, work evidence-based, what I love, have your stories there, it's not the elevator pitch, but what did we do? What was a success? What was a failure? And manage upwards. Manage upwards. I love that term. So thank you so much, Joe, for your brilliant insights.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for inviting me on.
You've been listening to CX Leadership Talks. Ninka is a customer experience speaker and educator. She has written books and spoken and educated leaders all around the world. She's one of the global thought leaders in the field. We hope you've enjoyed this show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can also find us on YouTube and LinkedIn and ninkabloom.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on CX Leadership Talks.